We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi, everybody. John Warren along with Mike Parker. It's time for another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Boy, we're having a lot of great conversations so far this year, and they're brought to you by OSU Beavers app, among other fine sponsors here on the program. Oregon State has simplified and enhanced the fan experience while making game day safer for fans with the introduction of the new app, OSU Beavers Mobile, presented by your local Toyota dealers. OSU Beavers Mobile, available now for free in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store, allows fans to manage all their game day ticket needs, including purchase and entry. Fans can also use the app to transfer tickets to friends and for access to game day parking. By downloading, Beaver Nation can experience exclusive discounts and deals, have the opportunity to win exclusive prizes, and participate in app-only game activations. Our conversation with John Rehorn coming up. He's the men's golf coach at Oregon State, and the team finished in third up at the Husky Invitational recently, but had an individual winner.
John, coming off the Husky Invitational, a third-place finish and a win, the individual title to a freshman from West Salem High School, Brian Iyer. It's a pleasure to welcome you in on such a high and momentous note for your program. Congratulations on that, Coach. What about your team's performance and Brandon's performance individually at the Husky Invitational?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Well, it was an exciting start to the season for sure. Brandon made it look pretty easy to begin the year, so just really excited for him and what can be the future for him. And then the team, just lots of really good things happened. I think we played well enough to win, made a few mistakes here and there that kind of cost us, but a lot of stuff to really grow from, be excited about, and just keep on getting better.
It's just amazing to us, and we'll explore this in some detail as we go in this week's podcast, but John, to have a true freshman out of West Salem High School win in his first start an individual title, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. I don't know in your experience how often that's happened, but what about that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really pretty remarkable. I mean, I think the Nevada coach kind of jokes with me. He's like, man, freshman going to win his first tournament? He's like, the only guy I know that's done that is Tiger Woods. So, you know, obviously what Brandon did is, you know, really cool. It's really hard to win a golf tournament. And so you just have to kind of have fun when you do win, because it just doesn't happen that often in the sport. You don't get to win that often. So it's just kind of a remarkable beginning. And I think it'll light a fire under the rest of the guys, you know, to say, hey, look, it's not that hard. Well, it is hard. They might look at it and think, hey, if he can do it, then why can't I do it? You know, so it's pretty cool.
How did it happen for Brandon? As you watched him and you saw how he was handling, you know, the success early and looked at him going into the last day that he may have a chance to win this thing. I mean, how did he kind of, he obviously must have handled all of that pretty well. Could you see him and his demeanor? Did it not change? He just kind of kept playing. You didn't seem susceptible to pressure per se.
No, I mean, he looked really good. He looked totally in control the whole time. Even the first day when he got off to a really good start and shot 67 to begin the tournament, he just looked like he was kind of doing his own thing, sticking to his game plan, and really played golf within himself, didn't try to do anything that he shouldn't be doing out there. And, you know, that's something we've seen in the first couple of weeks of practice, too, just the way that he carries himself and competes against the guys. Like, he showed up to campus and looked like he was ready to compete at a high level, just his maturity level and the way he approaches the game, just the belief that he has in himself, like, nothing ever really seems to rattle him. So it's really cool to see.
The Beaver Sports Podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota Benny's Buddies, your local Toyota dealers and Oregon State Athletics, teaming up to create the official fan club for your favorite pets. We're highlighting Benny's Buddies member Oreo, a cat from Portland, and its owner Kathy today. To sign up your pet, go to osubeavers.com/Benny's Buddies to become a member of Benny's Buddies. Today's podcast, and all of them, all season long, brought to you also in part by U.S. Bank. We know when you invest in a community, the community invests in you. We're committed to providing high-quality, innovative products and services that meet the needs and demands of our customers. U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. How him being a freshman, John, and this being the first tournament, or his first tournament anyway, have you had an opportunity to learn how much you need to talk to him? For example, what did you say to him after his first round, 67, or did you say anything at all?
You know, well, the first day we played 36 holes, so he shot 67. I said, hey, great job, keep it going. So then he shot one under in the afternoon, and he was a little disappointed with that. And I think I didn't really say a whole lot to the team. I just said, look, we're playing some really good golf. We led the field in birdies for two rounds. We just, for an hour in the afternoon of that 36 whole day, we just kind of mentally had a few lapses, which is probably, you know, you could see coming. Just, it's been a long time since the guys have played 36 holes. Golden Mountain is a pretty hilly course, so a pretty tough walk, and it just kind of took them out of it a little bit. But they came back refreshed yesterday for the final round and played a really great round, second lowest round of the day, to move up to the leaderboard and finish third. But yeah, it's, I didn't say a whole lot to him. It was funny. We worked really hard on just kind of improving our speed and our putting and leading up to the tournament and trying to hit short putts with better speed, so we didn't have a lot of 3- and 4-footers coming back. And he faced a downhill left to right, right to left downhill 4-footer that was a really fast putt, and he had to hit it on the perfect line with the perfect speed. And as we were reading, I said, look, this is why we did that drill last week. You're ready. You got this. And so that was cool. You know, he kind of got a chuckle out of that, and then he went over and knocked his putt in. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, you're coming off last year's performance to the NCAA championship, the school's 10th appearance. When you have a guy like a Spencer Tibbetts or Sean Liu or now a Brandon Iyer, if they're leading or could lead in the final round, do you walk with them or do you stay away?
You know, it totally depends on their personality. For Brandon's case, I knew that he was kind of toward the lead for the last few holes, so I made sure that I was there on the last, like, green, the last hole to help him out if he had any questions. But I hadn't really done anything with him the whole week other than just be on the kind of the par three, some key shots around the course where I felt like it helped the guys as they came through. So we just stuck to the same game plan the last day, but I made sure that I was there on his last hole, and then I walked down with him on the last hole to make sure, you know, his parents were there, but I took a couple of videos just in case he happened to win. So I wanted to make sure that we had some footage of it. So I was there with them. But yeah, it totally depends on a personality. I think some guys, they need somebody to talk to kind of keep their head on straight and they just want to talk about anything. It doesn't have anything to be about golf. Or some guys would rather just be to themselves and do their own thing. And so we just make sure that we kind of know what they need going into that day.
John Rehorn, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Let's talk about and take a look at your team this year as we get started. But first, before we get to that, I want to ask you real quickly, how much time do all golf teams get to work out before your first tournament? Because we always hear about basketball. They'll go for 3 weeks and then start playing their games. What about in golf, and what do you use that time for? What do you do?
Well, mostly we show up and the guys compete against one another to determine who's going to be in the lineup. So we began our first official practice was on September 7th, and then we played five rounds of golf, competitive golf, and the low five scores traveled to the first tournament. So pretty intense way to kick it off, but there's no real other way to kind of determine who's going to be in the lineup. And the competition itself is the only way to really create some pressure that they might feel in the tournament. It's not quite the same, but at least it forces them to have to execute and hit some shots under pressure and when it means something, because they all want to travel really, really badly. Obviously, to represent the school and have the chance to compete. So for the first, September 17th or 7th, we reported. So, you know, for the first 10 days or so, we basically were playing golf and practicing. We went to Arrowhead Golf Club up in Moala, played Illigi Hills, and then we played a few rounds here at Trysting Tree as well.
John Rehorn joining us. John, has your thinking evolved at all in how you prepare for a season? You're beginning your 12th year. You get out of the gate well. You finished so well last year, as John mentioned. Have you tweaked things at all in terms of how you ramp up in practices and preparation time that John just asked you? Would your preparation look the same as it did when you began here back in August of 2010?
I would say it's pretty similar, maybe a little different. In terms of, we used to get on the road and do some things. Obviously, COVID has changed that a bit. But it's pretty similar. Like we just try to have some fun with the guys, do some things around town. I mean, the guys are on the team are really into disc golf right now. So when we're not practicing, they're usually playing disc golf. So we've gone out to Willamette Park down in mm-hmm. South Town and played disc golf down there with the guys. Just try to. You know, it's fun because we have to play a tournament. Like Brandon Iyer wins his first tournament when he hasn't even stepped foot on campus until today. So that part is fun because we can just focus on golf for 2 weeks and not have to worry about school. And now we got to switch modes where the guys are in class and practice is going to be a little more time restraint. And so we got to think about all those things. But I would say overall, it pretty much looks the same. Where I always tell the guys, it doesn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior, when you come to campus for the beginning of school, we're going to compete, and the low five scores are going to go to the first tournament.
In a conversation on our local show, you were telling us about that competition. It's fun, but it's real. You were dining out somewhere, and the servers at the restaurant were marveling over the competitive nature of your team. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just it's kind of fostered in the last few years. They just compete in everything we do. Brandon, I think it started with Brandon Iyer, actually. He brought chess to the team. And so, like, on the phone, you can just play each other on your iPhones back and forth. And so guys have just gotten into, you know, chess, or they play Uno together as a team while we're sitting there waiting. I mean, whatever they're doing, they seem to find a way to compete in something. Which is fun. It's just, you know, and it's fun. It's just what they do. So it's exciting to just kind of be a part of that. And I was just thinking about it on our drive home from Washington. Like, I don't really know what to make of this team yet. I think there's a lot of potential. But it's just fun to be with them because they're really just good guys. They work really hard. They do well in the classroom. And they just get along great as a team, too. We, you know, nine guys that just have a lot of fun together so far. So it's been great.
If you didn't have a freshman step up and win the first tournament, and we had this conversation, who would you be highlighting that you would expect some big things from this year?
Well, I think we have the chance to where you might hear about three or four different guys throughout the year. I mean, I was hoping going into this week that the guy you might be hearing about is Mateo Fuenmayor, who's a Beaverton kid and had a really great summer, made a lot of progress. He shot 62 in the Cal State Fair 2 weeks ago before school started, the weekend before practice started. But then he got an illness, so he's out for a couple weeks, not COVID-related, thankfully, but He just has to be out to get his strength back. So that's somebody I think that's going to probably make a huge impression on our team going into a sophomore season. And the other two guys, I think, to watch out for that have the potential to be, you know, number one guys are Jackson Lake from Fresno and Carson Berry from Boise, Idaho. Both those guys finished tied for 21st this week at the Husky Invitational. I don't think they were particularly pleased with their play, but their pretty good play now is good enough to finish in the top, close to the top 20 and help us compete at a high level. And if their B or C game is finishing in the top 20, then that gives our team the potential to be really good.
My final question, John, may close with something else, but John, we, again, in our local show earlier, we talked about Brandon Iyer and his multi-sport abilities at West Salem High School, and you observed that. You saw him make some clutch free throws and seem impervious to pressure in a high school basketball game. I'm just wondering about what you see in his athleticism. One of his hobbies, he says, is running. So I'm assuming he runs and he's in good shape, all of that. I mean, tell us a little bit more about this young man, what you saw in him as you recruited him, and even the value of perhaps participating in multiple sports.
Yeah, well, there's so many things there. I could go in a number of ways, I think, Mike. But I think Brandon, he's just an athlete. I don't know that he started on varsity. He actually hurt his shoulder one year, so he quit. But he played a couple years of quarterback at West Salem. And he was on the basketball team. And like you mentioned, I went and watched him play a game. And he was just kind of one of those guys that, as a coach, you love to have on your team because you could tell he just did all the little stuff to help make the guys better. Like, he took charges and he rebounded well. And, you know, he made those two free throws at the end of the game in a clutch situation that I kind of put the game on ice for his team when I was still in doubt. And he just never really seems to get rattled. And I think in our sport, in golf, a lot of individuals just grow up playing golf their whole life. And then once they get to college, being a part of a team is a lot tougher. So I think Brandon, having played basketball, having played football, you know, golf was just something he kind of, was something he did in the spring and the summer. But then when football and basketball started, he never really touched a club. So his potential is athleticism, but just the ability to shine in the big moment, that's really rare. I don't know that it's hard to teach that, and he seems to have it, which is really cool.
John Rehorn, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Last couple of things, John. I wanted to ask you about an event that took place earlier this summer, today being the first day of fall, but the Bud Aussie Scramble. I know that's been a long time event, and Bud was always scrambling around from hole to hole in a cart, but we lost him just a month before that. Tell me a little bit about the meaning of that and what it was like. And I know it sounded like it was a great, a successful event.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Obviously, you know, the loss of Bud was really tough because I know he was really looking forward to being a part of that day. We had to cancel last year's event. This year is the 50th event. So Bud started this event 50 years ago to raise money for the men's golf program. I think at one point the men's golf program might've been the potential for being cut because of a lack of funding, and Bud kind of got it all started. You know, so that was really unfortunate that he wasn't able to be there, but it really was a great day. We had some signs made up on the course, like with, you know, pictures and factoids of Bud about his life and moving here from Russia when he was young and going to Oregon State and, you know, working with Bob Blackburn and keeping stats for the, you know, the Beaver Radio and doing all this stuff. Even had a letter from the athletic director that he had received 50 years ago that he had given me about 5 or 6 years ago that he kept thanking him for starting this tournament, and we put it on all the cards for everybody to see. But yeah, so this tournament is the main fundraiser for our team, and Bud has poured his heart and soul into it, and you know, it will be something that we kind of carry on his legacy with every year at Walton moving forward.
Yeah, that's nice. And it was neat, too, that he was featured a lot, really, when the Beaver basketball team made that Elite Eight run last spring.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, everybody in the nation knew about, I believe her name's Sister Jean.
Yeah,
And then we ended up going up against their school, and so Bud kind of got some publicity. And I know that was, you know, probably pretty special for him. I know the pandemic and being at home alone was really tough for him. You know, so I know that was probably something pretty cool. And, you know, in my last conversation with him, he just, you know, just told me how proud he was of myself and the program for reaching the NCAA championships. And, you know, that was something that I'll always remember and talking with him. And Bud just, he just always just cared about everybody so much. He would always ask me about my kids and my family, how they were doing. And when we get together, we'd share videos because my son is and daughter about the same age as his grandkids in Australia. So, he would, you know, we'd always share videos and photos back and forth, and he'd always ask how they were doing. So
nice.
He would be greatly missed, greatly missed.
Are you a different coach now than you were when you started?
Yes, for sure. I think without a doubt. It's interesting. I think when you get the job as a young, I was 31 mm-hmm. when I got the job here. Mm-hmm. You feel like you got a lot to prove, and you know, I think that weighs on you. And as you get older, you realize, you know what, my job is just make sure that the kids on my team have a great time. And if I can take care of them, the results will follow, you know, and kind of in the back of my mind, I've always kind of, you know, I've over the last little bit, I've gotten to know Coach Casey pretty well since he's retired. He's kind of picked up golf a little bit, but I've always thought about Coach Casey and how, you know, it took him 10 years before he got to the postseason. You know, and if that would have happened in nowadays days, he wouldn't have lasted 10 years.
Right.
So, I think you just, when you're young, you think you know it all. Not that I knew it all, but I think I just look at things differently. I'm always searching to get better. But I think now I'm probably a little less, how do I put it, strict with my guys. I just
critical.
Try to recruit guys that trust.
Yeah,
I trust them and kind of give them the freedom and the reign to do what they want to do to be successful, but within certain guidelines.
Well, and two, isn't there would be with me, isn't there an aspect of a kind of a parental type aspect? You're on the road with these guys, and if they're messing around in a restaurant and they shouldn't be, you got to say, knock it off. Or, you know, if you're in a formal setting, teach them, hey, hold you're looking like a caveman. Hold your fork a little bit differently. Is there any aspect like that to you when you're traveling with the guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting. Like when I got into coaching, I was 25 and now I'm 42. It definitely has turned into more of a parental, try to help them, guide them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm 42 now, but I'm always around 18 to 22 year olds. So I don't feel like, I don't feel that much different
because
I'm around the same age kids all the time.
Yes, which takes me into my last question. How often do you pick up the clubs? During practice, do you golf around with them? Or how does that work when you're a golf coach? You've got to be itching to want to play.
You know, I used to be. I don't anymore. I wish I played more than I do. But I just don't play that much golf anymore. And I'm not that, I don't itch for it. My hobby is to kind of help them get better. And I kind of can get my golf fix through them. You know, so I just play, like this summer, I think I played 2 rounds of golf. That's it.
Yeah.
Actually, no, sorry, 3. I played 3 days in a row in the Corvallis Club member guest, and that was it. Other than that, I didn't play golf. I hit some balls with my kids out of the practice facility.
Yeah.
But I didn't go on the golf course and actually play golf. I'm just in a phase where, and you know, part of it is my, quite honestly, my competitiveness. I'm not as good as I used to be. So like to go out and play with my guys and get beat, that's not much fun for me. So I'd rather just watch.
I completely understand. And it'll be that way with your kids when they get older and start beating dad.
Exactly. Yeah. I can already tell my son, like, I don't like to let him win. So
yeah.
He's going to have to earn it.
There you go. John, always fun to talk with you. Best of luck next time out. You've got, you go to South Bend, Indiana, right? To take on Notre Dame.
We do, yeah. We go to the Fighting Irish Classic, October 4th and 5th. So looking forward to that. And then the following week, we'll be home hosting a Trysting Tree. So we'd love to have as many people that want to come out to watch the team at Trysting Tree on that Monday, Tuesday. I think it's October 11th and 12th. And we'll look forward to hopefully some great weather here in the Willamette Valley to host some schools.
Always good to talk to you, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That will wrap things up with this week's guest, John Rehorn, Oregon State men's golf coach, and this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you in part by the OSU Beavers app. Toyota Benny's Buddies, U.S. Bank, and Dutch Bros Coffee. Dutch Bros Coffee and OSU are teaming up in a new way to show its support of the Beaver Dam. Dutch Bros is donating to the Oregon State University Food Pantry. For every point the Beavers football team scores, Dutch Bros will give enough to feed a single student for a month. The more we score, the more students Dutch Bros helps support. On behalf of all of us at Oregon State, thank you for your support of the Beavers and the Oregon State University Food Pantry. Until next week, for Mike Parker and John Rehorn, I'm John Warren. Have a great week, everybody. The Beavers taking on USC in football at the time of this recording this upcoming Saturday. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Beaver Sports Network.